Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Mazorera, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
No, I'm fine this side.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad that you are joining us once again this afternoon. I must say that I've been enjoying these conversations ever since we started on Monday. I hope that your day has been fine, though.
Yeah, busy, but generally fine.
Fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. Now, within the Christian faith, we all read the same Bible and worship the same, God. So the question is, why are there so many different belief systems? And I think that at the end of this conversation, this is what we must have answered. And so before we get to that bottom line, we're talking about so many Christian denominations. In fact, I think in all religious groupings, it sounds that Christianity has got the most, divergent groupings. And if we are all following the same Bible, following the same God, what's the whole point of the division then?
Yeah, in fact, if we were not having such divisions, then we would say the Bible cannot be relied on. It's not a reliable source of truth. Because that question actually comes to us as something that was prophesied. Mm. Paul, in the book of Timothy, both in 1st and 2nd Timothy, I'll have to quote three passages. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, know this thing, that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, because they will be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons or doctrines of devils. Mm. So right from the onset, Paul says you need to be very careful, because there will be devilish teachings or doctrines that will be going around in the last days, and some will embrace those. So the moment that happens, then we won't expect, one single united denomination, because it's a prophesied thing. Also, when you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, from verse 1 to verse 4, to verse 5, in fact, Paul is enlisting the outstanding signs that will tell us that we're in the last days. And on verse 5, he speaks of a group of people who would only want to have a form of godliness, but would want to deny, but denying its power. Mm. They are calling themselves Christians, but they don't want anything to do with what Christians ought to be doing. That's another group. Then in 2 Timothy, again, chapter 4, verse 2 to 4, I would want to read this one. I don't want to paraphrase it. Verse 2 to 4 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So it's very, very, very definite that we should be having a divided so-called Christianity, because we are having people whose ears are itching to hold for themselves teachers who teach only the things that they want to hear, not what God wants them to do. So as long as we have got such people and those that would want to do what God wants them to do, then we have got two groups already. Mm. So the divisions must not surprise us. They were prophesied. They are telling us that indeed what the Bible says is true.
Mm. Now, you talk about a lot of, those who are imitators, etc., etc. How do we then get to understand the hallmarks of a true church of Christ?
Yeah, there are so many things, but there are some that definitely are very foundational and very, 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 very basic, which you not even want to compromise on. Number one, for it to be the true church, then it has and must have Christ as the head. Any church that has got a human being as its founder or its perpetual and permanent leader, and it's named after that person, regardless of the fact that they call themselves Christians, then they are not part of Christ's body, because the church of Christ belongs to Christ. It does not belong to a human being. So Christ must be the head. Number two, It must be a Bible-believing church. Any church, any Christian church that purports or claims to be, you know, the true church must uphold Scripture as its, you know, fundamental source of doctrine and teaching. Any other sources of dogmas and teachings that are not founded in Scripture, then we know that that system or that movement cannot be the true church. Number three, the true church must teach its members to be obedient to God. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and they have faith in Jesus Christ. You'll discover that in these days that we are living in, we've got a polarized sort of, you know, religion called Christianity. There is one group that upholds faith and says we don't need the commandments of God as long as we've got faith. And there's another group which would say, no, but we need both faith and the commandments, because the faith that saves must lead people to be obedient. So any other denomination that teaches people not to be obedient to God cannot be part of the true movement of God, because Revelation is very clear. Yes, the patience of the saints, those that keep the commandments of God and they have the faith of Jesus Christ. Also, chapter 12, verse 17, the devil or the dragon was wroth with the woman. He went and made war with the remnant of his seed, those who keep the commandments of God and they have the faith or the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that's another hallmark. Do you believe in Christ by faith? And also, does that faith lead you into obedience? If your church is teaching you not to obey God, then it's not the true church of God. You must believe as a true church of God that only the sacrificial death of Christ can atone for our sins. Not a human being, not any other acts that a human being can do, not any sacrificial act, not, but only the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Then finally, I would say the true church of God must be one that upholds mission. Most of the churches that we see today, they are just social gatherings. People go there, they sing, they dance, they read one or two verses, they greet each other, they go back home. Nothing about the mission that ought to be accomplished is said or embarked on. Then that cannot be the true church of God, because when Christ founded his church, his main purpose was for those who would follow him to continue with the work that he had started, so that many souls are brought into his kingdom. So any church that does not uphold mission, we can't take it seriously.
Yeah, but actually true. If there's no mission, you really cannot take that situation seriously there. Is the remnant church specifically a particular denomination?
Yeah, it ought to be. I know there are a lot of people who want to philosophize and they want to say, you know, the remnant is invisible, remnant is in my heart, and so forth and so forth. But that's not what Christ said. When you read John chapter 10, verse 16, Christ said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. So Christ is a fold. Christ is a fold whereby he's calling all those who hear his voice to come into that fold. So we cannot deceive each other and say it doesn't matter whether you're part of that group or that part of that movement, as long as in your heart you know you're okay, you're part of the remnant. No. The remnant church is a movement. It's a fold which belongs to Christ. And Christ is actually saying there are so many people outside there who are not yet part of this fold. They must be called out from where they are and come and join the fold. So regardless of what modern philosophers are saying, I call them philosophers because whatever they say is not biblical. God has got his movement. God has got his church. God has got his remnant people that are very visible. But there are some who are not yet part of that visible remnant group, whom when they will hear the voice of Christ, they will also come and be part of that visible group. That's what the Bible teaches.
Well, quite interesting, actually, very interesting views there as well. Because some may say, well, the remnant church is not necessarily a church organization, but a grouping of people. Would you agree with that?
A grouping of people in the name of who? Because Christ himself is saying, I've got one fold. That's what John 10 is saying, one fold. So we can't have a grouping of people in Kenya, a grouping of people in South Africa, a grouping of people who are doing whatever they think is right, and some are in America. And they also do what they think is right as long as they are gathering in the name of Christ. No, Christ said it's one. It has to be one. From Africa to Asia, Middle East to Western Africa and Western Europe, it has to be one group, uniform, doing the same thing, believing the same thing, such that if we were to move out and go somewhere else, you should be able to say, this is the movement, this is the group. Because Christ said it's one. If there were supposed to be many, Christ would have said, no, don't worry. I've got so many folds. Wherever you are, if you find that it belongs to me, just be part of that fold. He said it's one fold. And all other people are supposed to come into that one fold.
Interesting. Now, how is... in fact, is having my membership at a particular a church enough to save me?
No, no one will be saved because they have their name at a particular church, registered at a particular church. That is not the basis of salvation. Salvation is by faith in the atoning death of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's how we attain salvation. But it also works the other way around. Not having your name registered with a particular, you know, church also means you are depriving yourself of what you ought to be doing as a member of Christ's body. Because the reason why Christ is calling people into this one body is because we need to, you know, to work together, each one with their different, you know, talents and gifts.
Yeah.
We combine, we complement each other to accomplish the mission. So there is no way I'm going to say I don't need to be any part of any other church. I will do my thing on my own. If I am the hand, I'll never be able to do what the foot was supposed to be doing. That's why Christ is calling people, you have to be part of the body. You can't say I don't want to be part of the body and yet claim to be a member of Jesus Christ, because
very
Christ
true.
Is the main body where we are supposed to be part of.
Yeah, that's quite true. Well, very exciting views there, and a very sound and very clear instructions there from the Bible as well. My pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Thank you so much. We're going to be connecting again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.